for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand.
Welcome to Double Portion Inheritance with Maria Merola, brought to you by DoublePortionInheritance.com. Now, Maria Merola.
Good evening, Mishpoka, friends, family, and Messiah. Tonight is February the 20th, 2014, and I'm going to be continuing the study that I've been doing for the last 5 weeks on the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week I was explaining that there are some people within the Hebraic Roots community who have tried to suggest that those who fall backwards under the power of the Holy Spirit are experiencing something demonic. You know, in the Christian church, they call it being slain in the Spirit. Now, granted, I became a born-again believer in 1981, and since that time, I had visited many charismatic and Pentecostal churches along the way, and I had seen a lot of people contriving these things, people trying to push you on the floor and forcing you to fall down. I don't agree with that. I think that's theatrical. I don't agree with that. I've never allowed anybody to push me down on the floor. However, my first encounter with being baptized in the Ruach HaKodesh, or being immersed in fire, in the Holy Spirit and fire, I did fall down. I was about 3 months pregnant with my oldest son, Elijah, at the time, and my legs just gave out. I mean, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, just came upon me so heavily that my legs just couldn't stand up anymore. My legs just made me give out, and I had been praying for weeks. I'd been asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so I had visited for the first time an Assembly of God or Pentecostal church, and the people that were there, including the pastor, everybody was deep in prayer when I arrived. I arrived a little bit late, and there was just a hush, a silence over the congregation. Everybody was deep in prayer. And then finally, the pastor of this church broke his silence and he said, "Somebody came here today to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire." When he said those words, I knew that was directed at me. I knew that was a word of knowledge directed at me. I was only 21 years old at the time. But I went forward. Actually, this was 1982. Correction. It was actually January 1982. That's right. I went forward, and I remember I was trembling and shaking because I had this overwhelming expectation of wanting to receive what Yahuwah had for me, but also the fear that what if this isn't legitimate? What if the enemy, gives me something counterfeit? So the pastor could tell that I was trembling, I was shaking, I was crying, and he said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, I'm afraid." And he said, "Well, what are you afraid of?" I said, "I'm afraid that I won't receive something genuine. I want to receive the true gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to receive anything, counterfeit." So he bound the spirit of fear. He said, "You spirit of fear, I bind you and I command you to come out of her." And when he cast the spirit of fear out of me, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, knocked me down on the floor. Nobody pushed me. And I just, it was a gentle, it was a very gentle, kind of like, you know, my legs just kind of felt rubbery, like I couldn't hold them up any longer. I lost all strength in my legs and I just fell gently backwards. There was somebody there to catch me because they knew that was going to happen. So I was laying on the floor when suddenly I felt this other language coming up from my belly, you know, and it reminds me of what our Messiah said concerning the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said that it would be like a, you know, a river of life in your belly. And that was exactly how it felt. It felt just like it was coming up out of my belly. So I felt as if, you know, and it was too early for the baby to start kicking me. I was only 3 months pregnant at the time. So the baby had not started kicking. It was a different sensation than a baby kicking. This was more like, kind of like, if I could describe it, like a bubbling sensation. The only way I know to describe it is like I felt as if Niagara Falls was inside of my belly. Like I had Niagara Falls in my belly and it was coming up through my esophagus, and then out of my mouth came this new language. And this is exactly what our Messiah said in Yehuchanan or John 7:38. He says, "He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That is precisely what I felt that day. And I really wasn't even aware of the scripture yet. But that was precisely the sensation that I felt. And then in the next verse, John 7:39, he goes on to say, he says, but, you know, it says, "But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Ruach HaKodesh was not yet given, because that Yahushua was not yet glorified." So in other words, the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh had not been given yet, because Messiah, Yahushua, had not yet been glorified. So he gave us a promise. "He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Well, obviously he's speaking metaphorically. We know that we don't literally have a river flowing out of us, you know, out of our belly, but that's the sensation that I had that day in 1982, January 1982, when I received this gift. And so I can tell you that this is a legitimate gift. So those that would say, "Oh, if you fall backwards, that's demonic," that's not always the case. Now, I will grant you, there are people trying to counterfeit the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Christian churches. I've seen it myself firsthand. But just because the counterfeit exists, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't rule out the genuine. Now, last week I was explaining this prophecy in Isaiah 28 and Yeshayahu 28, where Yahuwah said he would cause the house of Ephraim to fall backwards, that this was the way in which he was going to bring them back into obedience to the Torah. It says in Isaiah 28:13, Yeshayahu 28:13, he says that he would cause them to fall backward. Listen to what it says, Yeshayahu 28 or Isaiah 28 verse 13. "But the word of Yahuwah was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." So he's saying he's going to cause them to fall backward. Okay, Now, let's look at the fulfillment of this. Okay, who's he talking to in this verse? He's referring to the Gentiles, those lost sheep of the house of Israel, where they had been sent. They'd been sent to the nations. Okay, and Isaiah or Yeshayahu was sent to them. That's why he said, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. So in Yehuchanan or John 18:6, listen to what happens. That night, Messiah Yahushua is being arrested, and they were looking for him. They said, we seek Yahushua of Nazareth. And what does he say? He says, I am. I am. Now, your English Bible is going to say, I am he, but the word he is italicized. So every time you see the word he in italics in your King James Bible, that means the word was not there originally, but the translators added the word he in there. So the original Greek textus receptus does not say he. He said, I am. When he said, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. And what was happening here in this account was Messiah Yahushua was being arrested, and the Gentiles or the Romans said, he said to them, I am. He's revealing himself to the Gentiles. And some of these lost sheep of the house of Ephraim, they were taken captive by the Assyrians in the Assyrian captivity, and they were still in exile. Many of them obviously had been assimilated into the culture of the Romans and the Greeks. They lost their identity. They didn't know who they were. So he's revealing himself to them. He's saying, I am. Now, in Exodus 3:14 through 15, where Yahuwah reveals himself to Moses or Moshe, he says to him, I am that I am. Now, when you look up this phrase in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance, it's number 1961. It's Haya Asher Haya. It means I will be, I will, you know, it says I will be who I will be. That's really what it means. But this word Haya or I am means to become, to come to pass, to exist, to fall out. Yes, it means to fall out. His very name, Haya, I am, means to fall out. So it only stands to reason that they all went backward and fell to the ground. You see, John 18:6 is a direct fulfillment of Isaiah 28:13. He caused the lost sheep who were in exile in the Gentile nations, he caused them to fall backward when he revealed himself as I am. So, those who would say, oh, well, that's demonic. No way. How in the world could that be demonic? Who made them fall backwards? Was it a demon? No, it was Messiah himself who caused them to fall backwards when he revealed himself as I am or Haya. And so this ludicrous idea that falling backwards is demonic, I'm sorry, it's a lie. It is not supported whatsoever by scripture. Do not let people tell you this. Okay, so the Gentiles were these scornful men. They were ruling over Jerusalem. The Romans were ruling in those days. And they were made to fall backward. Remember the Roman centurion, how our Messiah said, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel as he had seen with this Roman centurion. And remember Cornelius, of course, a righteous man praying day and night. And Yahuwah revealed himself to Cornelius, and he sent Kepha, or the Apostle Peter, to preach to his household. So, obviously, Yahuwah had a remnant of the lost sheep of the house of Israel within the Gentile nations, among the Romans, among the Greeks. So let's continue with Yeshayahu or Isaiah 28, verse 15 and 16. It says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol or hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus says Yahuwah Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion, or Zion, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. What is Yahuwah saying here? He's telling these Ephraimites, these returning Gentiles, that he will cause an overflowing scourge to pass through the nations to purge them of their lies and falsehoods. What lies is he referring to? Well, these are the very same lies that the prophet Jeremiah or Yirmiyahu spoke about in Jeremiah 16:19. Listen to what he says. O Yahuwah, my strength and my fortress and my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto you from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. These are the same lies that have been taught within the Christian churches for many centuries. You see, Christianity has taught the lie that the law, the Mosaic law, has been nailed to the cross. The Gentiles were taught lies about Messiah's birth being on December 25th or the winter solstice. And they've been taught lies about his name. They've been taught that his name is Jesus or Jesus, when in reality his name is Yahushua or Joshua. The Gentiles will be purged of these lies by the overflowing scourge. And this Hebrew word for scourge is shot. It's this word shot. Okay? This word shot means to chastise. It means judgment. In Yeshayahu or Isaiah 28, listen to what it says in verse 17 and 18. It says, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. You see, the waters he's talking about is the living waters. The living waters of Yahuwah flowing out of heaven from the throne. The river of life, that is the water that he's going to send to reveal where these lost sheep are hiding. Remember, in Jeremiah chapter 16, he said he was going to send fishers to fish them out of the nations and hunters to hunt them out. Isaiah 28:18 says, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with Sheol or hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Now, here's a promise to the house of Ephraim, the returning Gentiles, that their covenant with death shall be disannulled. And this means that they will be redeemed after they've been chastised and judged by Yahuwah. Let's continue. Isaiah 28:19 through Isaiah 28:19 through 21. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For Yahuwah shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, he's calling this a strange work and a strange act. Why is he calling it this? Well, you see, he's ministering to the stranger, the strangers who have been in exile. So, in order for him to minister to the stranger and to call them back into covenant, he has to do things also in a very relevant way that they can understand. A strange act, a strange work. You see, two different Hebrew words are being used here to describe the word strange. In Isaiah 28:21, when he says strange work, it's the Hebrew word zur. Okay, zur, it's number 2114 in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance. It means to be strange, to be a stranger, to become estranged, to be a foreigner, to be an enemy, to be loathsome, to be a strange woman, to be a prostitute, or alienated. So, he's calling this a strange work. Why is he calling it a strange work? Because he is calling the harlots, the harlotry, the woman of harlotry, the lost sheep of the house of Ephraim. He's calling them back into covenant. So he's doing a strange work. In other words, it has to be relevant to them. Otherwise, they're not going to get it. Now, in this same verse, Isaiah 28:21, when he says strange act, there's a different Hebrew word there. The word for strange there is nokri, which means foreign, alien, harlot. So what is he doing? What is Yahuwah doing? He's causing these Gentile nations to be humbled by first showing them that because of their lawlessness, because they've departed from Torah, that they've become like a prostitute. In other words, the mother harlot church listed in Revelation 17. It is through their being humbled, it is through this strange work, this strange act, that he is going to bring a residue, in other words, a remnant, into Torah obedience. And he's going to do this through the renewed covenant, Messiah's blood. But how does he do it? He gives them a strange speech. In other words, the gift of speaking with new tongues. And he causes them to fall backwards. In other words, being slain in the spirit. In order to humble them, he causes them to fall so that he can do what? Raise them back up again. You know, when we go into surgery, what happens? We fall back onto the table, onto the operating table, and the doctor does the surgery that's needed. And when the surgery is finished, what happens? We rise back up again, and we're made new, we're made whole. This is what Yahuwah had to do with the house of Ephraim. He caused them to fall backwards. In other words, he let them fall back so that he could raise them up again. And, you know, Yahuwah did the very same thing with the apostle Shaul, or Paul, on the road to Damascus when he caused him to fall to the earth. We read about that in Acts 9:4. Okay, back from the break. And before we went on break, I was explaining to you about this strange act that Yahuwah was talking about. He was going to do in the last days this strange work, this strange act. He explains this in Isaiah 28, verse 21. And this strange act, the word strange in Hebrew, means to be a prostitute. It means to be a foreigner. In other words, Yahuwah was going to do a strange work and a strange act for these strange people, these people who have been estranged from him. And who has been estranged from him? It's the house of Ephraim. They've been scattered to the four corners of the earth. They're in the Gentile nations. They are worshiping strange gods. They are worshiping strange idols. And so because they're strange and they're estranged from him, he has to do a strange work. He has to do a strange act. Hence, the reason why on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it seemed strange that the men that were there thought the disciples were drunk. Okay, it was a strange work. It was a strange act. So let's continue. You see, talking about this falling backwards or being slain in the spirit, a lot of people think that that is a kundalini spirit. Not always. Beloved, I am very much aware of the kundalini spirit that has been creeping its way into the Christian church. I know about that. However, what is the difference between the genuine move of the Ruach HaKodesh versus the Kundalini spirit? The difference is the Torah. That is the difference. You see, when it's a genuine move of the Ruach HaKodesh, then it's going to result in people wanting to obey the Torah. But if it's a false Kundalini spirit, it's going to have the opposite effect. It's going to cause people to get into all kinds of strange manifestations, and they're not going to change their ways. They're not going to depart from idolatry. They are going to continue with their lawless ways. That's how you know the difference. That's how we can tell the difference between a true outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh versus a false spirit being poured out. You see, I had a dream about this back in the summer of 2007. I remember I had been in serious fasting and prayer that summer, and I fell asleep in the middle of my prayer. And as I always do, I ask Yahuwah to speak to me in prophetic dreams. Well, I had a dream that this crazy looking creature that looked like a lobster, but it was white. It was a white lobster. It was not a pure white, but kind of a creamy, you know, off-white color. And this lobster was on my dining room table, and it was crawling across the table. Then suddenly this lobster gets up off the table with wings. It's like he had wings, and he starts flying through the air, and he comes towards me. And before he could even land on me, I woke up and I gasped and I said, "What was that, Father? What was that?" And I heard his voice say, "That is the counterfeit Holy Spirit that is coming to a lot of Christian churches today." He said that the counterfeit Holy Spirit looks or tries to pretend to be like the real Holy Spirit. The only difference, it's unclean. You see, lobsters eat the scum off the bottom of the ocean floor. They are bottom feeders. They eat garbage. This is why we're commanded in Leviticus 11 not to eat these unclean creatures, because with these unclean creatures carry diseases and parasites. And so what happens in a lot of Christian churches is they're feeding off of junk food, spiritual junk food. They're not learning the pure word of Yahuwah. They're not learning the Torah. They're learning all these strange false doctrine, strange teachings about psychology, strange teachings about, you know, just strange ideas like, you know, Rick Warren teaching, you know, the purpose-driven church or the purpose-driven life or whatever. Just newfangled doctrine. It doesn't have any significance to the Torah. You see, these are the strange things that are being taught in some Christian churches, just like the lobster eating junk off the bottom of the ocean floor. It's the same thing. They're feeding off of death. And so this is what he revealed to me. And I said to the Father after having this dream, I said, "Father, how can we know the difference between the true Holy Spirit and the counterfeit?" He said, "Maria, there's only one difference." This is what he said to me. There's only one difference. He says, "The true Holy Spirit is always going to lead you into obedience to what is written in the Word. the word of Yah. And the false or, the counterfeit Holy Spirit is always going to lead you into deviating from the truth of the word. And so that's the only difference. So, beloved, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not say, well, everybody in the Christian church who speaks in tongues or has, you know, falls backwards or is slain in the spirit, that every single instance that that's the Kundalini spirit. That's not always the case. Look for these signs. Is there repentance? Is there brokenness? Is there a return to obedience? Maybe they're not full on keeping the Torah 100%, but if there are steps, if they're making baby steps in that direction, then that means the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, is moving. He's moving in that congregation. So he says he will not snuff out, you know, a candle that's just starting to, or a wick that's just starting to, you know, catch on fire. He says a bruised reed, you know, he will not crush. I'm looking for that scripture, actually, because it just came to mind. Here it is, Isaiah 42:3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. What does this mean? Well, a smoking flax would be, you know, a candle that's about to catch on fire. You have a wick in the candle, and it's not on fire yet, but it's starting to get there. And what he's saying is, I'm not going to quench somebody that is starting to get on fire. Maybe they're not on fire yet, but they're on their way to getting on fire. I'm not going to quench that. So if the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh is visiting a Christian church, and maybe they don't have everything 100% right yet, but they're like that smoking flax, they're starting to get there. They are on their way to getting on fire. It may take them, you know, years to finally get the full-blown revelation about obeying the Torah. Maybe it's just in its infancy stages about, you know, doing the Torah. But the bottom line is he's looking for the ones that are starting to make progress. Okay, that word there for flax in Isaiah 42:3 is a wick. A wick. In other words, here's a wick on a candle that isn't on fire yet, but it's smoking. It's starting to get there. He's saying, I'm not going to quench that. If they're on their way to coming into the truth, I'm going to give them a chance to come fully into that truth. And that's exactly what he's saying here. So I don't like generalizations. I don't like when people generalize and say, oh, every Christian church is operating in a Kundalini spirit. That's not always the case. I can attest to that. I was in the Christian church, and granted, I saw many false teachings, and I saw them doing a lot of strange things and strange fire operating in a lot of Christian churches, but not always. Okay? So, beloved, understand that this prophecy in Isaiah 28 was about the house of Ephraim. In other words, the scattered lost sheep. He said that the way he was going to bring them back into obedience to the Torah was he was going to do this strange work, this strange act, this strange work of giving them the gift of speaking with new tongues and causing them to fall backwards. In other words, being slain in the spirit. Isaiah or Yeshayahu 28, verse 22 through 23. Let me continue. He says, now therefore, be you not mockers. Who's he rebuking? Who's he telling us not to mock? Who's he saying don't mock? He says, lest your bands be made strong, for I've heard from Yahuwah Elohim of hosts, a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give you ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Now, do you see a familiar pattern here in this in these two verses? Isaiah 28:22-23. Who were the men from the nations that were mocking in Acts 2:13? What is he telling them not to mock? He's telling them not to mock the gift of speaking with new tongues. He's telling them, don't you start mocking. Don't you start making fun of this strange work that I'm doing. Okay, and what did he want them to do? He wanted them to hear his voice through the interpretation of the strange speech. The strange speech that was being given by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the speech would be strange. It would sound foreign. It would sound like something otherworldly that had never been heard before. But then he would cause them to hear the message in their own language as the Holy Spirit would cause each man to hear it in his own language. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about falling down under the power of the Holy Spirit. While it is true that Satan has his counterfeit gifts in operation, there seems to be a growing trend of the proverbial throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So many people in the Hebraic Roots community want to attribute all manifestations of the Holy Spirit to a Kundalini spirit. But my question to these people is this: if the gift of tongues and falling down under the unction of the Holy Spirit is always false, then why would Satan bother to counterfeit these gifts? You see, Satan has no use for counterfeiting gifts unless they originated with him, Yahuwah, in the first place. Now, I'm going to show you in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, instances where the priests could not stand up because the glory, the weight, the heavy weight of Yahuwah's presence was so heavy and it was so thick that they could not stand. Their legs gave out under the glory of Yahuwah. And let's read it. It's in 1 Melakim or 1 Kings 8:11. It says that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the kabod or the glory of Yahuwah had filled the house of Yahuwah. And we read the same thing again in 2 Debrei Yamim, in other words, 2 Chronicles 5:14. It says that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the kabod or the glory of Yahuwah had filled the house of Elohim. Okay, so this word for glory, it is number 3519 in the Strong's Concordance. It's kabod, kabod. It means splendor, weight, honor, dignity, riches. It comes from another root word, chabad, number 3513, chabad, which means to be heavy, to make weighty. You see, Satan knows how to counterfeit the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He used to be the covering cherub at the throne of Elohim. So, of course, he knows how to counterfeit these gifts. Let's read it. It's in Ezekiel or Yehezkel 28, verse 12 and 13. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus says Yahuwah Elohim, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created." Now, who are the characters mentioned in the Garden of Eden? We only see three characters mentioned in the Garden of Eden: Adam, Eve, and the serpent. But here we read in Ezekiel 28:12 that the king of Tyrus has been in the Garden of Eden. So this doesn't make sense unless you understand that the serpent has manifested himself through many earthly kings. He has possessed many earthly kings. Okay, let's continue. Yechezkel, or Ezekiel 28, starting with verse 14. It says, "You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of Elohim. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of Elohim, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them, in the sight of all them that behold you." You see, Messiah, Yahushua, is the true high priest, Melchizedek. But what is Satan? He used to be a covering cherub at the throne, and he has been dethroned from that position. He used to be a covering cherub. What did he have in his breastplate? He had all the stones, the same stones that the high priest would wear, the Hoshen. It's called a Hoshen, the 12 gemstones for the 12 tribes. But he was cast down. He was cast down. Okay. But now Melchizedek comes in the form of a human being as Yahushua HaMashiach. So you see Satan, Lucifer, Hasatan, the serpent, he's been dethroned from his position and he's jealous. He is jealous of our Messiah, Yahushua, who is Melchizedek. And so he wants to imitate. He wants to counterfeit these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he knows how to do it well. You see, there's a phenomenon in the scriptures called strange fire. Strange fire is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, of the true Holy Spirit. And it pretends to be the real Holy Spirit, but it is a counterfeit. And as I explained in my dream from 2007, I was shown the counterfeit Holy Spirit. I was shown that this spirit is unclean. The genuine Holy Spirit, the genuine Ruach HaKodesh, will always agree with what is written. It will always agree with the Torah, but the counterfeit will be in opposition to the Torah or the Mosaic Law. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, we are told that the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, will promote what is called the mystery of lawlessness. And to understand that, just go to my blog called The Double Portion Anointing versus a Counterfeit Holy Spirit. Now, let's see about this phenomenon called strange fire. It's first mentioned in Vayikra or Leviticus 10, verse 1. It says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yahuwah, which he commanded them not." And what caused them to offer strange fire? Well, when we continue to read on, we discover that Nadab and Abihu had been drinking wine while serving in the temple. Let's keep reading. Vayikra or Leviticus 10, 9 through 10. It says, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean." You see, under the Melchizedek priesthood, our body is the temple. And so a royal priesthood, we must remain sober. in order to minister the true Holy Spirit. Now, there is an amazing yet mysterious fragmentary document found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's in the first Qumran 29, the fourth Qumran B376. And these fragments seem to give a detailed description of the manner in which the Urim and the Tumim actually function. To this day, only fragments survive, but these fragments speak of tongues of fire coming from the stones, and these fragments say, the priest shall interpret. So what is the Urim and the Tumim? They were actually connected with the gift of tongues, anciently speaking. Let's go there. It's in Shemot or Exodus 28:30. It says, and you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Tumim, and they shall be upon Aharon or Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahuwah. And Aharon or Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before Yahuwah continually. Now let's look up this word Urim. Okay, the Urim is number 224 in the Hebrew Concordance, Hebrew Strong's Concordance, and it means the oracular brilliancy of the figures in the high priest's breastplate. It also means light. And this word Urim is the plural for the word Ur. And it's number 217 in the Strong's Concordance. The word Ur means flame, it means fire, it means light. Now, the priest was to wear a breastplate. It's called a Hoshen, and it means in Hebrew to contain sparkle. It's number 2833 in the Hebrew Concordance, Hoshen, and it means a pocket as holding the Urim and the Tumim, or rich as containing gems used only of the gorget of the high priest's breastplate. And so next week, I'm going to be picking up where we left off on this teaching about the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh. If you would like my flash drive with 60 of my ebooks on it, just write to me at doubleportioninheritance@gmail.com. And for a minimum donation of $60 to this ministry, I will send you that flash drive that contains 60 of my ebooks. I will continue this study on the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh next week. Until then, shalom, shalom.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast and that you are encouraged in your walk with Messiah through the teaching. To visit Maria's website, visit doubleportioninheritance.com. That's www.doubleportioninheritance.com. This broadcast depends on the love gifts and offerings of listeners like you. To send a donation to Maria's ministry, write Double Portion Inheritance, Maria Merola, P.O. Box 7311, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22404. Or you can donate with the PayPal button at doubleportioninheritance.com. For Maria and all the ministry team at Double Portion Inheritance, may Yah bless you.